as I could. Good morning. When we were preparing to come over on furlough, I was sort of like praying around and looking at what I wanted to share when we come back to our sending church. We then go and travel around a good number of churches, so we're doing about 7,000 miles in the next 5 weeks. So pray for us, more so for Alicia. But I was really praying and asking God, you know, what can I sort of like share with the guys that we're going to be speaking to and whatnot? And God laid this on my heart. And so this morning, if you've got your Bibles, don't turn with it. We've not got enough time. We're going to be looking at the book of Ruth. We're going to run you through the book of Ruth, so you won't need to read it. It's only four chapters, but if you want a good story, read the book of Ruth. If you're going to be having a daughter in the next year, Ruth's a good name. And so we're going to look at the book of Ruth. If we have a look here, this is a short book that was written by a business guy called Seth Godin. It's only a small book, so I put it in small picture form. But it's this guy called Seth Godin was a business guy. He grew a business really big in America. Then he went through some difficult times. The business shrunk. He had to make lots of changes. And so he wrote a business book called The Dip, looking at principles of business management and stuff. And so what I'm going to do this morning is rob some of his ideas. It's not plagiarism because he didn't intend them to be used like this. And we're going to apply it to the book of Ruth and Ruth herself and sort of like see if it speaks to us and if anything happens. So if we're all right with doing that, this is The Dip. It's a simple process. It goes up and then it goes down. So welcome to The Dip, and we're going to pick up the book of Ruth. Has anyone read the book of Ruth? Awesome. Has anyone not read the book of Ruth? All right, so you all know this. So basically, right, Elimelech has got a wife called Naomi. There's a famine in the land of Judah, and they decide to move east. They go across the water to Moab, a different place, a different kingdom, and they settle there, and Elimelech dies, which is not the end of a good plan. So Elimelech dies, leaving Naomi with two sons. And now their two sons are Mahlon and Chilion, and they're single. So they've gone across the water. Elimelech's dead. Naomi's by herself. Mahlon and Chilion are single. They find two Moabite women, one called Ruth and one called Orpah, and they get married. And that's where we're going to pick up the dip, because it's all about the dip this morning. And we're going to apply the dip to Ruth. She's the main protagonist. They named the book after her. Beautiful lady. So let's apply the dip and the principles to Ruth. So if we look here, this is where Ruth marries into Elimelech's family. So Naomi's her mother-in-law. And we see and we read through Ruth 1 that things happen and things go on. And we encounter Ruth at this moment. They've been married about 10 years. They don't have any kids. So there's nowhere for the family to grow into. And then certain things happen. Her husband dies. Then her brother-in-law dies. Now the situation for Ruth went from bleak to quite good, because she married into a business family or a family that did business well, moved into her town. So she didn't need to move. She married into there, but then the world fell apart. The only person in her family that she had around as a head of the family was Naomi and Orpah, her sister-in-law. And so what we find is that Naomi says to Ruth and Orpah, look, there's nothing here in Moab. I've heard that God has blessed our land, so let's go back to Judah let's go back. There's more for us there. So Ruth is sort of like in this bit of a difficult time. She's married into a family. Everyone's died, and now she's got to face going home. Now, if we look on the next happening, Naomi turns around. So they've already packed up the house. They're ready. They're setting off. You know, Pickford's has picked up all the luggage. They're moving across the lake. And Naomi turns around and says, look, girls, there's actually nothing for you. I can't provide, even if I was to have kids. You'd be too old before they're of age. And so, you know, go back to your mother's household. Go back to your communities. Go back to everything. And so Orpah goes, all right, I'm going to go back. And that's where we find Orpah returns to the point before she got married into Elimelech's family. But what we see and what's interesting in this situation is Ruth decides at this point that she's going to carry on with Naomi. And she turns around and she says, and we're going to call it just for this morning, I think it's called the Ruth, yeah, here it is. So Ruth chooses God. And we're going to call it the Ruth Rapid Response. Because, remember, Pickford's is driving and they don't stop. She's coming along with Naomi. Orpah's gone home. She thinks she's going to go into Judah. She's from Moab. And now Naomi's saying, don't come, I've got nothing for you. And we need to learn some principles from Ruth's rapid response at this moment. And she turns around to Naomi and says, no, I'm going to go with you. Don't urge me to go back anymore. Where you go, I go. And where you stay, I'll stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And where you die, and I'm going to die there, and it's going to be great. Pretty, you know, this is exactly what my mum was like when we moved from Yorkshire to Middlesbrough. You know, it was a sacrifice of heart. But she said to my dad and the church at the time, do you know what? I'm going to follow, and we're going to go. So it's not the ideal situation, but I'm going to trust God. It's never ideal to move out of Yorkshire. It's always good to move into Yorkshire. So Ruth decides to follow, and Naomi knows that there's no point in pushing her, so she carries on. Now, in this dip form here, what we see is it doesn't actually start getting better for Ruth straight away. The choice that Ruth makes isn't the bottom curve, and it actually gets worse because a couple of things happen. So they get back into the new place. Has anybody here ever moved into a new community or a new town or moved county? And you've got to almost reinvent yourselves, haven't you? You've got to present yourself the way that you want to be presented. Me and Rachel have transitioned into maybe 6 different communities and tri-worked in communities in Paraguay. And every time you go in, you've got to present yourself how you want to be seen. And the first thing that we notice on here, there's a big black triangle. What's that shape? That one. And so things don't get better. They go into the town, and the first thing that happens is everyone's like, oh, look, there's Naomi. Isn't Naomi great? And Naomi turns around and says, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, because Naomi means good and all of these positive things. Mara means bitter, you know, because God hasn't, in her eyes, treated being fair to her. And so Ruth's only representation in this situation is like Mardi chops. So she's going into like Judah, and she's going, this is great. My husband's died, my brother-in-law's dead, my father-in-law is dead, and I've got Mardi over here that's welcoming me. You know, she landed and she didn't know anything. You know, she didn't know whose fields were good, she didn't know which shop to go to. It was a completely new situation. The people that she was engaging with, she didn't know whether they had good intentions for her or not. One of the hardest things that we do when we go into a new community is not being seen as the cash cow Westerner. You know, we want real relationship with people to share Jesus. We don't just want friends who want to associate with us because we're Westerners or because we speak English or because we are materially, you know, better off than they are. And so she didn't likewise know who was who or what was what. And things didn't sort of like get better until she met Boaz. And that's where the next green dot is. Because Boaz is an absolute legend. I wanted to call my first child Boaz. And Rachel didn't like it. Because Rachel's from the East End of London. And the only Boaz that she knows are like 7-foot big Afro-Caribbean doormen. And she's like, I'm like Norwegian blood. You're a Yorkshireman. We're going to have like a club-footed, hello-back, pigeon-chested sort of like little thing. We can't call them Bo. It's just a complete... So we called our daughter Alicia and named the dog Boaz, which is confusing because she doesn't know that it's not a girl's name. So things start getting better. Ruth goes out and she starts gleaning as the poor and the widows and the orphans were allowed to do. They followed behind the harvest, gleaning. Boaz looks out and several things happen. So Boaz, she stumbles across Boaz's field. Boaz then is there and he gets out of his car, of his carriage, of everything that he's got. And he's like, bless you. You know, he's a real legend. Men, if you want to be a good guy of God, follow Boaz's example because he really is top drawer. So he gets out and he notices Ruth, and Ruth's sort of like busily working, but he doesn't know who Ruth is. And so he inquires after Ruth, and they say, you know, who she is, what her background is. And he says, look, and this is where it starts getting good. He says, if she is thirsty, give her some water. Then he turns to the lads and he goes, lads, leave her alone. Don't distract her. Don't be lads. Leave her alone. You know, so he starts to extend a wing of protection over Ruth. Then it gets to dinner time. I'm making everything Yorkshire here, so please forgive me. It gets to dinner time. He invites her for a ploughman's, right? She's working really hard, and there's cheese left over and bread, and she probably took that back to, you know, back home to Naomi. But this is quite strange for an out-of-towner. I mean, it's quite. I grew up in York, so, you know, I was from Middlesbrough. I know what it's like being an out-of-towner. You know, it's, you didn't get any. You didn't get any space. But Ruth did. She got fed. She got water. She got left alone. She also, something else that was really stood out is Ruth worked incredibly hard. Her work ethic was incredible. In one day, she gleaned, like picked up off the ground, enough to feed two people for 5 days. So she basically earned 10 days worth of food in one day, and it got Boaz's eye. And things got even better, because then she goes back and speaks to Naomi, and Naomi says that this guy's a kinsman, he's a guardian of the family, and he's someone that's good. And so, where am I? It's always strange when I do it in English, because I write my notes in English, and then I have to follow them. Whereas when you're doing it in another language, you're panicking that much that you stick to your notes. Whereas in English, I don't. So anyway, I've found myself, so we're good. Now what happens is we find that she marries Boaz, and I think that's the next dot. Naomi gives Ruth's, or Mara, Moody, gives Ruth some dud advice. Thankfully, Boaz is a real guy of God, and he doesn't give in to, you know, temptations and whatever. And he says to Ruth, look, I'm gonna marry her. This is my intention. So they go before the elders. But firstly, Boaz does fit something that's excellent. He goes and he finds the guy that's meant to be inheriting all of Elimelech's land and whatnot, and he presents to him the real business of what that inheritance would mean. He would have to not only take the land and redeem the land, but also Ruth, which isn't bad, but then you've got Mardy, and I think it's not written. I think that was the deal clincher for Boaz. So he sort of like presents it, and this guy says, I'm not prepared to go down there. And Boaz says, well, I will. I'll marry her, and I'll redeem her, and I'll redeem the line, and I'll redeem the land and everything. And so at this point, things sort of like get good, and even gets better for Naomi. She goes back to being called Naomi, and she gets blessed. The elders of the village bless her and everything, and it really is incredible. But we can apply all of this to us. You see, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we come to be in relationship with him, we really start at the bottom of this dip, and things start getting good. You know, you're praying and you're seeing things happening. You're going to church and people are giving words of wisdom and whatever, and it's like it's all for you. The pastor preaches and it's for you. You like go out there and you're praying for things and you're seeing it happening. You're sharing your faith and the new things that you're learning with your friends, and they seem interested. And it's sort of like everything's on fire. You pray for your football team and we get promoted out of League One after 6 years of isolation. And Chris Wilder takes us out. And so I'm a Sheffield United fan. And so I'm sorry for bringing that up here in Rotherham. So things start getting good and God answers prayer. But then there's a turning point and it happens to us all. And things don't go as easy as we sort of like have been experiencing in that time of growth. And we can go through all sorts of stuff. You can go through bad health, you go through marriage situations, illness, death, bereavement, situations with colleagues at work, redundancy. You know, life just gets hard. All of the things that you've learned, all of the new experiences of God that you've got are just sort of put into a box because of the overwhelming weight of all of these crises that we face. We have experiences that just don't make sense in the new world that we're seeing the world through after our salvation. And we arrive at this crisis of faith, at this point where we have a decision to make, very much like Ruth. And what we can do is we only have two decisions that we can do. We can do an Orpah, and we can go straight back from where we are at faith, right where we are there to where we were before we came into faith, or we can do what we're calling this morning the Ruth rapid response, and that is choosing to carry on with God and choosing to go on with Jesus Christ. Now looking at this, and if there we are, this is the Orpah, going back to the old ways, the old customs, the old things that we're doing, and then Ruth's rapid response. Now we have sort of something that Ruth didn't. You see, Ruth married into a good family, and she came to know God through what God had done through the tribe of Israel and the history that God had intervened with. But we have something more. We have the incarnate Christ who came to earth that died. We have Jesus as example. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, Ruth didn't have any of this. She really just had a faith based on what she'd heard God had done for this people group and Mardi, you know. And so often what we end up with in these crisis points is we have the knowledge of what God has done for mankind. We know Jesus, and we've come into relationship with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. We've seen manifestations of the Holy Spirit that just knock our socks off. And yet, that Mardi that's just sat behind can overwhelm us and overwhelm our situation and push us back into our old self. You see, this situation where we're looking at here, if we go to the next one, is where we find all of our young people, indigenous, all of the Paraguayans that we work with, all of the Brazilians. We're on the tri-state border, so we work with everybody. Everybody that we work with falls into this triangle somewhere. When we work with young people, we have a contract. It's a contract of conduct. It's a contract of attitude. It basically looks after me and Rachel and lays out with a young person of how we expect them to behave, how we expect them to talk to us, what are the rules and the regulations of the house. But 80% of this contract that we use isn't for our benefit. 80% of the contract that we use is just what Jesus has said about that young person, what Jesus has said about the potential of that young person. And so we were working with one young girl, and she came into our group, and we gave her a contract. I sat down, gave her the contract, and I moved away. Went to make myself a cup of tea, because when you're working in a different culture, tea is the best thing to reintroduce into any culture. So we were going through a hard time. Cup of tea, love, that'll make it better. So and it's only ever ringtons. So my granddad still lives in Leeds. He buys me ringtons every year. So we gave her the contract, and this girl was sitting there, and I walked over, and the contract was all blotchy, and I realised that she was weeping, and I said to her, I said, "What's up, love?" And then I panicked, because I'm a guy. I looked for Rachel. I was looking for a nappy or anything to change just to get me out of the situation. And I looked at her and I said, "You know, what's wrong?" And she said, I've never realized that this was all for me. I never realized, because she's sat in church before, I never realized that what you've written here is how God sees me. I've never realized that this is what God has for me as purpose and aspiration and quality. And I said to her, "Look, Ruth was a Moabite. She came from a tribe that was born out of incest. She came from a tribe that used to worship a god called Chemosh, the destroyer, the subduer. They used to have sexual practices in their temple, worshiping their deities. And when times were hard, they were known to sacrifice children." You know, these are not... She was a Moabite. And yet look at where God took Ruth. Look what God did with Ruth. When she went back into Judah, people said, "Oh, there's Ruth the Moabite." She had a label. People knew exactly who Ruth was. You know, she couldn't escape from that. But she didn't let it hinder her. And so I said to this young person, "You know, I know that your mum is a prostitute and that you've been abandoned. But that doesn't define you. God didn't bring you in with limits. God loves you, and he has laid out everything for you to achieve. You just need to know your worth. And this young girl has been with us for 4 months, and she's making leaps and bounds. She's developing as a young person in extraordinary ways. You see, she hit this crisis point, and the easy thing for kids that are leaving institutions to do is not reinvent themselves and say, do you know what, I'm going to still choose God, this is going to be a hard path. But what they often do is choose to go back to an old life, an easier life of drugs or alcohol or bad influences that are away from their lives. But this is where we are as well. And if we have a look at the next slide, you know, this is where I find myself often as a mature Christian, like someone that's been walking with Jesus for many years, ups and downs, choosing often to come over and carry on, do a Ruth rapid response. But then we can be really mature in faith, and yet a small crisis can really make us question everything that's going on. My dad, at the moment, my granddad's got dementia at the age of 92. My dad's an Anglican spirit-filled vicar, and this is throwing my dad, you know, seeing my granddad deteriorate so much. It's not a crisis of faith, but it's a pressure that's building above him, and he has to realize and remember the truth and the nature of Jesus that he serves in such a dark and bleak situation. And so we can find ourselves at these points, and as mature Christians, we only have three responses. We can do an AWPA, please never do it, never return to those mother cultures, those mother traditions, the house where we, you know, the old self that we left behind when we came into loving relationship with Jesus. We can do this blue line, you know, the wandering in the desert. We can just go and walk about like the Australians and just don't do anything, and not agreeing or deciding to do anything, but just meander. Or we can do a Ruth rapid response, and that's really what I want to applaud you to do this morning, because it's all about Jesus. You know, everything in the book of Ruth that we see and every decision that we make just is all about Jesus. It's so much easier when we just remember that it's all about him. And so Charles Spurgeon, the 19th century Christian writer and preacher, once said that Boaz, let me get this right, that's it. He once said that Jesus is our glorious Boaz. And it's true, you know, what Boaz did in redeeming Ruth is a love story and just shows and highlights so greatly to us of what Jesus has done for us. So if we have a look about this, this is the name that we're just going to talk briefly about. So Boaz looked out into his field and saw Ruth. Jesus, and you might be here this morning and you've not given your life to God and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but Jesus looked out from heaven and he saw you. The same way that Ruth stumbled across her field to glean in, you've stumbled across this church, or this church's outreach in the community, or this church's community groups that's doing evangelism. You know, God breaks time and interjects himself into those spaces just to bring himself into relationship with us, and he sought you out. Boaz offered Ruth grace, and Jesus offered us so much grace. And God offered us grace that whilst we were still sinners, he sent Jesus to die for our sins. Boaz redeemed Ruth, lock, stock, and barrel, no questions asked. He even had a bartering with this guy to make him realize the true weight of what the deal was. And Jesus redeemed us. And Jesus is going to redeem the earth. He's going to come back for his earth and redeem it and place his kingdom. And so Ruth is four chapters in the Old Testament. If you only read four in the Old Testament, just read Ruth over and over again. Our young people read it. It's got to be done a chapter a day for a month. And they realize that it's all about Jesus. Jesus is really awesome. And so this morning, that's the last slide. If you're at a dip, if you're at a high point, we often meet people who are not in crisis. They've not got crises around them. They're not carrying a burden. They're actually just going up the dip and it's all good. If you're on there and you're going up, know that things can change and things do change in life. And if you are going up, please look around and see the brothers and sisters who may be at a crisis point, who maybe need a loving arm, who might need more of a Naomi than a Mara around them, people that are crying out for their fellow disciples of Christ to come around them. If you don't know Jesus, please start that journey. Honestly, it's the best thing that can happen. I'm a dyslexic northerner that was born in Leeds, moved all over with my dad, didn't really have any hopes of doing anything, and I now work trilingually in Paraguay between indigenous groups, and it's incredible. You know, so when we say yes to Jesus, we're actually just saying yes to his plans for us. There's no choice. We have to choose, but there's no choice. Let's do a Ruth rapid response, and let's get back on that trip. Thank you.
Thank you so much for bringing that word to us as well. And I just feel, I want to pray for from John and Rachel before they go. I think that'd be good as a church that we were able to do that. But just really feel that was a word for us as a church, and what God's been saying to us over the weeks. McKen, the other week, are you in? Are you out? Which way are we going? I really feel that, Lord, just hear what God is saying. Sometimes we miss it. Hear what God is saying. You know, I think God is, we're in a place of decision. The Lord is saying, which way are we going to go? Are we with him? Are we not? Are we going to continue to make that rapid response decision? And we probably all have a decision to make at some point what that's going to be. And maybe you're in a place of decision now in some point in your life and you walk with God. And I just want to respond to what John's said. You know, if you don't know Jesus today and you've come, or your walk with God is going back the other direction, you know, respond to him today. Look towards Jesus. He is the only way, the only truth, and the only way to life. It's only through him. So let's turn to him today and surrender our lives to him. You know, every day I'm surrendering my life to Jesus. When I wake up in the morning, I say, God, here I am. He's there, all of my thinking, in my walking, because I know there isn't anywhere else to go. And I want to encourage you today that continue to make that response to him. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. And if that's you today, you want to make some response. And maybe you're here as well and you think God is stirring you or your children or something in the area of mission work, and you just feel like, I just need to respond somehow, and I don't know how, what that may look like in my life, but I need God is calling me into the mission field, whether it be abroad, whether it be in this country or a missionary in Rotherham itself, or even to your family, but you feel that call on your heart. I want you to respond, and we're going to pray with you. But maybe you need that response to Jesus. You don't know him, you've heard of him, you've attended church, you've listened again and again, but you don't really know him in your heart. And that's you. And just respond. And you can quite simply do that, just acknowledging that before God by saying, that's me. Putting your hand up, saying, Jesus, that's me. And you'll respond to that this morning. I want to give that opportunity. Just raise your hand and say, that's me. I want to know Jesus in my life. I want to respond to him. Thank you, Father. That means by simply saying, Jesus, I choose to go your way, not mine. I acknowledge I do things wrong. I mess up at times. I sin. I do things my way, but Lord, I choose to do things your way. Your way is best. You have a perfect plan. If that's you, then just say, Jesus, I want to give my life to you. I surrender my life to you. Maybe you've done that 1,000 times, and to this morning you want to say, Jesus, again, I want to rapidly respond to your word for my life, for your plan for my life. Jesus, I want you. I need you. Lead me. Take me by the hand and lead me. Thank you, Lord. Just cry out from your heart to him. He's listening. He's listening. I wonder maybe, is Rachel, she's gone out, is she? Is she here? Yeah, maybe we could pray with you. Can we come and stand? And maybe, Naomi, would you mind just standing as well as a representative for Elam? And Andy, would you just come and stand with me as well? Can we just reach out our hands and just pray for them? I mean, they've sacrificed so much, and it's a daily walk, taking up their cross and following Christ. I'm just going to wait for Rachel to come through, but the family, and everyday decisions, the challenges come, they can't be always easy, and it's a church, get alongside and pray for them, and that God would raise up leaders around them. So let's just begin to pray. And thank you, Jesus. Some of you, you've been on missionary work before, and I know you've been on that field, you've had a taste of what it's been like. Thank you, Jesus. It's okay. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just want to bring, Lord, and we stand, Lord, in behalf of them today as a church. We say thank you, Lord, for calling them out. Thank you, Father. They're going, Lord, to difficult places, to people, Lord, who may not be familiar, but, Lord, people that you love, and they're going with your love in their hearts, and we thank you for them, Lord. And, Lord, we continue to surrender them to you today. We continue to commit them in prayer to you, Lord, as they stand, Lord, in these places. They go places they've not been before. They touch lands they've not been before. They speak to people they've not been before with lives that they don't understand. Maybe they don't have their wisdom or the solution, but they go in faith, knowing that you have given them everything that they need in Christ Jesus. I pray, Lord, they'd know that sense of your Holy Spirit upon their life, Lord, the sense of your wisdom, that hear your voice calling them to go, to go, to go. Lord, their faith would continue to increase. As they sow, they'd see the fruit of their labor. Lord, as they work and they give and they surrender their lives, as they speak out into people's lives, they'd continue to see the multiplication of increase. Lord, lives would respond. I pray, Lord, disciples would be raised up to call alongside them, that they would see raised to support them and encourage them. I pray that lack in no way, Lord, in every single situation over their lives, they'd see your provision. Lord, they'd never think about where it's coming from. It never be a burden. It never be a worry, because their eyes are fixed upon you. Continue, Lord, the joy of serving you. Lord, continue to bless this little girl too, Lord. Raise her up as she sees with her own eyes the goodness and the favor of God wherever she goes. Lord, may she have a hand upon her life that's yours, resting upon her. Keep her safe, Father. Keep her well, Lord. Keep them as a family together, connected. Strengthen them and surround them with your love, with your fire, with your protection, and with the prayers of the saints. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you. Sorry to call you out there, but thank you. We really appreciate that you've come out today. Let's stand together and worship and close the service with a praise and worship together. And again, if you want prayer this morning, if you come sick, if you come worried, if you want to know Jesus more, you feel a missionary response in your heart, then come forward for prayer. That's your decision. It's your choice. It's your rapid response. Respond to Jesus.
You are good, you are good, when there's nothing good in me. You are love, on display for all to see. You are light, when the darkness closes in. You are hope, you are hope, you have covered all my sin. You are peace, when my fear is crippling. You are true, even in my wandering. You are joy, you're the reason that I sing. You are life, in you death is lost its sting. You know I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your the world.
Jesus. We run into your arms, Father. I'm going to pray. I don't know if this means anything for anyone. I've just got to share it in obedience because I feel something the Lord is trying to say to someone here today. And I just keep seeing this, and I think it's a lady, I don't know who, but they're tossing and turning in their bed, and they're just in tears and pain, and there's a sense of loneliness and abandonment. And you've been crying out to God. And if there's someone here, I don't know, but I've just got to respond to being, you've been crying out to God, and you're crying, and nobody knows. You need to know that the Lord has heard your prayer today. And be assured. And he says, lift up your head, get up, and begin to respond. Respond to my call and let me take care of the things that are weighing you down. And respond. You've been tossing and turning. I just really believe that's for someone here today. As a lady, you've been struggling. If that's you, then need to know that God's heard, and I'm just going to leave that one with God. I just feel the Lord calling you, get up and respond. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the word. We thank you, Father, for the testimony. We thank you for the example. We thank you for your presence, Jesus, that you're working in our lives. You're working in this church. We thank you, Lord, for your glory. We thank you that you have a plan, that you're leading us, Lord, forward in you. We thank you that you're calling us to move deeper and closer to your presence. We thank you, Lord, you're calling us out and you're calling us into something great. We thank you, Father, that we're hearing your voice. We thank you, Lord, that you don't want to leave anybody behind. We thank you for your great love for us, which you've lavished upon us. We thank you for the extension of your kingdom, which is at hand, is advancing among us. We thank you for the deliverance. We thank you for the healing. We thank you for the freedom. We thank you for the truth that's in Jesus Christ. And we stand in you today, Jesus, and we declare that we are yours and you are ours, and we look to you in Jesus' name. Gather us together, Father, and move us forward to march in the ways of your voice, in the ways of your Son, Jesus, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. Go in the might that you have in Christ Jesus. John George said to me last week, he said, we should have a window on, a picture on the window, or a note on the window that says, your mission starts here. So let's go in Jesus' name. But God bless you all, and please stay for tea and coffee out the back, and John and Rachel are here as well, I'm sure, to chat with you. But bless you all. Thank you. Song.